Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Montana's physical therapists, they're concerned Medicaid reimbursement rates are not meeting even the cost of care. We'll talk about some of those numbers as we get into this issue here today. There was a bipartisan bill that was recently vetoed by the governor that would have made some key adjustments there. The governor had a pretty good veto letter regarding that. Department of Health and Human Services objected to it as well. We'll get into that issue. Hear from, though, clinic owners and providers from across Montana on this issue. They just say, you know, if we don't do something, there's about 50% of us are privately owned clinics. And if our reimbursement doesn't meet our cost of care, then how do you expect us to stay in business? So we'll get into that here today. And also, while we have the chance, we'll get up to date on some of these new developments in physical therapy, specialty therapies like speech therapy. That today on Voices of Montana. I'm going to get into this topic here today. I know with legislation, you know, there's not everybody's happy about things. But what I like about digging into these issues is that we get into the nuts and bolts of this. And why, as physical therapists will claim here, why does this Medicare reimbursement rate not meet the need, the cost of care in that regard too? And I also want to get into some of the new developments. I guess I'll say that I've recently been, you know, several sessions with a physical therapist, probably the first time in maybe 30, 40 years in my life as well. And it was certainly interesting and eye-opening and, you know, how much I think the science has changed. But, I mean, that's 40 years for me. What about the last 10 years? So we'll catch up to date on some of those things. Let me welcome our guest here today, and we'll get into this topic about House Bill 585 and the reimbursement rates in that regard and the cost of care. Emily Herndon is with us, Plains Physical Therapy. She's the president of the Montana chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association, and they've written a letter in response to the governor's veto. They were behind this legislation. They had some success. We'll talk about Senate Bill 109, which was signed into law, and will go into effect in October. That I think is kind of changing the dynamic a little bit. But let's say hello to Emily. Good morning, Emily. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning, Tom. I am great today.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you coming along board. Why are you great today?
I'm actually just, it's a great day to just be hanging with my kids today. So I have the day off work and I'm enjoying that immensely. And they're still sleeping, so I get a hide out and chat with you today.
Yeah,
so.
I knew that. And I'm very happy for you enjoying some time away. Sam Schmidt is with us, physical therapist, clinical director from Alpine Physical Therapy. That's based in Missoula. And she's also the vice president of APTA Montana. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
No, I'm great. Thank you, Tom, for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Jennifer Kingham is here as well, speech language pathologist. Looking forward to chatting with her, a feeding specialist as well. And she is the CEO of Healthy Beginnings Pediatric Therapy. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys all for being here. Emily, lay down the foundation for what we're talking about today. Talk about your rates. Talk about this bill. And more so, help us understand where we're going to go this hour and talking about this.
Yeah, I'd love to. So HB 585 is actually a bill that is from last legislative session. And it really started out by the governor in 2022, and the legislation has set up a rate study that looked at a lot of healthcare providers. But we were left out. We were never studied. So they had no data to understand what the cost of doing business for PT, occupational therapy, and speech language pathologists. So we proposed this same bill in the 2023 legislation. It got tabled. It was our first bat at it, and we didn't understand the complexities of how to talk about it and what to look at it. So we went back at it, and what we really looked at was we started talking to all these clinics across the state of Montana. We probably had 60 clinics come in together to give us the data of what it really costs to do business. Some of these clinics were seeing patients on Medicaid, some were not. And what we found was, based on kind of the average rate of what it costs to do business, was about $142 an hour to just pay our overhead. That's our employees, that's the lights, that's the building, that's all of that. And yet we're being reimbursed at around $98 an hour. So we were, as physical therapists, we were losing $44 an hour every time we saw a patient on Medicaid. We were able to make up a little bit of differences with different types of insurance and different revenue streams, but frankly, it's becoming unsustainable. So we needed to come at it again. So we came out of this legislation session, HB 585, we brought to the table, and we brought along our friends at occupational therapists who were even losing more money at $51 an hour when we looked at them, and a speech language pathologist, it's $68 an hour. And that's just based on kind of what we treat and how we're reimbursed. So that's what we came at in this session. And we came at it very much as, this is a business problem. We would like to serve our communities. I'm in Plains, Montana, and I started a business there not to pick and choose who I serve, but to serve an entire community. And that includes everybody, all the way down to people on Medicaid. And so HB 585 was our attempt to adjust our rate so we can continue to serve all of people of Montana, regardless of what insurance they have. And we had some success at having our message heard and had it passed through the Senate and the House. And unfortunately, as was noted, it was vetoed by the governor.
And we'll talk about that. I think some of his objections, and I appreciate you guys sending me the veto letter. I mean, that's and I think it's an important part of the process. Here the governor says why this bill did not meet his standards, so to speak. So we'll talk about that. But it was largely successful bipartisanly in this last legislature. So that's Emily Herndon, again, of Plains Physical Therapy. And Sam Schmitz joining us now, too, as well. Physical therapist, clinic director with Alpine Physical Therapy. And Sam, I just want to maybe have you comment on that in any way you want, but also specifically interested in, how do you keep the lights on? What does, how many Medicaid patients, what kind of fiscal impact are you under and how long?
Yeah, thanks. Those are great questions. And, being in Missoula, our cost of housing is exponentially as many of the big hubs around Montana, but we've all felt that. So just trying to keep workforce that are professionals that have student loans and, keeping them housed here is really difficult if we are subsidizing a government program through our small businesses. And I think for us over the years, our values for my business is that we serve our parents, which means we take Medicare. And that is obviously the government program that's federal for those that are in their golden years. And then we serve those in need, that need the safety net of getting off the ground or help when they can't get it, or that they have a congenital or developmental disease or chronic disease that is limiting their function. So those are our core values in serving our community, and it's just been harder and harder to do. And most people don't understand that in healthcare, the payers set how much you can get paid. It's not like a plumber saying, my rates are now $250 an hour. Mm-hmm. We kind of wait and see what the rates the government sets in this case, and then what their schedule fee is. It's a contract. So it's a little bit complicated, and medical in general, anybody that's gone to any medical appointments and gotten their invoice can tell that for every, I think, seven doctors, there's 10, or for every 10 doctors, there's seven billers. So, you don't see that in a plumbing company. You got 10 plumbers, you probably have one person that's the bookkeeper and the invoice person, because it's much more straightforward. So it just costs a lot of money to run a medical business. And most of us in medicine, especially physical therapy, pediatric, especially, we're serving the people. We are givers. We want to, we're often kind of rolling over and trying to make things meet, the ends meet. So for my particular business, we just have to keep our payer mix very, like, we just have to watch that. And we can do that because we serve, you know, the adult population mostly, or outpatient, ortho, that sort of thing. But, you know, if we start to see those government programs going too high in our payer mix, we go into the red. And I'm taking out a loan or trying to figure out how to make payroll. And that's tight, you know, and especially with exponentially just costs going up, just liability insurance for my company went up 62% in the last 2 years. Wow. And that's an indicator that they use to help us determine what we should get paid as providers. It's part of complex equation that we worked with our sponsor, Representative Ed Buttry, on, including our RVUs, which is another thing going into the weeds a little bit. But at any rate, the point is that our costs keep going up and we have no control as business owners. And with us being left out of that rate study, we didn't even have a chance to say, like, this is how much we needed. So this bill really was that opportunity, and it did go through both chambers very successfully. We had a lot of great questions. We had a lot of great support. And I think that, you know, the folks that were representing Montanans across the state in Helena really heard that PT is important, and that they need to stay in their communities and serve their communities, all of their communities, and especially pediatric, which I'll let Jenny talk about, because those are the highest users of these therapy services in Medicaid are these kiddos. And that's what's pretty heartbreaking, too, because their payer mix is much different than someone even like mine. So,
Sam Schmidt, again, physical therapist with Alpine Physical Therapy Clinic, director there as well. I like a couple of things there you talked about. And that overlooking in that rate study was just, I don't know, a mistake, obviously. But you know, when you talk about you're subsidizing these government programs, I mean, that's the hard truth about this if those reimbursement rates are not meeting your cost of care. Jennifer, as you said, Jenny Kingan is with Montana Beginnings, all right? It's mtbeginnings.com. And Jenny, you have sort of a, and good morning to you. Thank you for being here. You have sort of a unique perspective on this. Talk about what you do and then how this impacts you probably in maybe a bit of a unique way too.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having us. Our clinics are just pediatric specific. We have speech and occupational and physical therapy. So we serve all the needs. In our valley, we're very short of providers and clinics. So there's a lot of need. And most of us, if not all of us, have waiting lists of 30, 40, 50 kids. So it's very, the need is already there, compounded by, you know, the Medicaid rate in our area is very significant. The Flathead County is one of the highest counties with Medicaid. Mm. And so that makes it tricky, along with, you know, overall about 40% of kids in Montana are on Medicaid. So that's pretty substantial when you look at our business setup. Before we had to restrict, we were about 80% Medicaid, and we've had to downtick to 60%. That's where we're currently at, and we're looking at either downticking, you know, probably close to that 20 to 40%, or maybe not taking Medicaid at all if we can't get this overturned, because we can't keep our doors open. But it's hard because there's nowhere for these kiddos to go.
Yeah, that's a really hard out, no Medicaid patients. And I think there's clinics out there that are facing that. I mean, you know, Jenny, I'm going to just have you, we got a breakup coming here too, but I'm going to have you comment on that, because as Sam had noted, and Emily is the same way, and I'll ask you guys about that. How are you serving your communities? That's what the thing is how am I serving my community? And I think that's what you want to do, especially when you talk about the pediatric care. Do you get to a point where you feel like you have to turn away some of those patients?
Yeah, we're already to that point. From the business perspective, it's either that or closing down our three clinics. And we serve not just the Flathead Valley, we serve multiple counties. And our specialties are sensor integration, reflex integration, and feeding and swallowing, which we can talk about. But they're not everyone can do those specialties or have you know, decided to take on that endeavor to address those needs. And so it's really hard pill to swallow when you have to turn away a kid on a feeding tube or a child that, you know, you could make a difference and limit a feeding tube, which costs $30,000 to $60,000 a year, and your therapy maybe only costs $6,000. So, yeah, really, really tough decisions at this point.
Reimbursement rates for physical therapy and speech therapy, some of those specialties that we'll get into here a little bit as well, because I'm fascinated about these things and medicine in general. Those Medicaid reimbursement rates are not meeting the muster for our physical therapists in the state of Montana. They had a bill out there, HB 585. Pretty good bipartisan support. It was vetoed by the governor for a couple of reasons here we'll get into as we are talking about this issue. Emily Herndon is with us. She's the president of the Montana chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association, APTA Montana, and also runs the Plains Physical Therapy in western Montana. Not far off, Alpine Physical Therapy in Missoula. Sam Schmidt is the clinic director there and with us as vice president of the APTA Montana. And then Jenny Kingham, speech language pathologist and a feeding specialist at Montana Beginnings Pediatric Therapy. Thank you all for being here in that last segment. I appreciate you rolling through those issues and those challenges you have with this. Emily, as the governor responded here in a letter, well-intentioned, and again, as I've said, I appreciate these things. And there's more to this as well. When you received this veto letter, you also got a notice from the Department of Health, Public Health and Human Services, about some of their objections here as well. But it says in the second paragraph here, House Bill 585 places physical, speech, and occupational therapy provider rates at 122% of the Medicare reimbursement rate, while other essential providers, including optometrists, opticians, audiologists, psychologists, licensed clinical social workers, and so on here, well, they listed quite a few of them, receive a reimbursement rate at approximately 85%. Of Medicare. Talk about those rates. I think in general, Medicare pays about 90% of the physician RVU. And then that's a term that physicians use, I know, for reimbursement. And it does make a lot of sense. My wife does work as a medical coder, so I understand what that means. But Emily, talk about those reimbursement rates. Would 90% do it? And the governor's response, what else did you see in there?
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate that the governor acknowledged, like, our vital role for the Medicaid system. And I understand the fiscal note, and I understand him wanting to be fiscally responsible, but even what we're asking for isn't going to hit our break-even point for our businesses that we surveyed across Montana. So we came up with this 90%, and this wasn't just kind of thrown out of the hat. This is what we want. This is what we're trying to be greedy. And we will acknowledge that it is 122% of Medicare. But what we found was we wanted 90% of the physician rate. Why the 90%? So if they're paid $100 for the service they provide that is our same service, we are asking for 90 of it. We didn't make up this number. When we go to contract with other insurance companies, commercial insurances, such as Blue Cross Blue Shield, Mountain Health Co-op, Pacific Source, et cetera, and even Montana State Fund, we are paid at 90% of the physician rate.
Yeah.
So that is what we asked for. We weren't asking for more than what we thought was typical within the industry. The other thing is you look under the rules, Montana rules, you have mid-level providers, certified nurse specialists, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and registered nurse anesthesiologists. They're paid at 90% of the physician rate for Medicare. Oh, excuse me, for Medicaid also. So then you even look at chiropractors. They're paid at 100%. Mind you, they only see pediatric kids, but they're paid at 100% of the physician rate for Medicaid. So yes, physicians and your mid-level providers are paid higher than Medicare rates already in the state of Montana. So that 122% is accurate. However, what was left out is those physicians are getting 125% of Medicare also. So why shouldn't we get what we are getting industry standard? Instead of the 90%, we're getting paid 67% of the provider rate, the physician rate in Montana. So that was where we came up with the formula to use. So,
and thank you for that. I know the governor has said the fiscal impact, $13 million over 4 years, about $3 million plus per year in that regard. And that does have kind of a price tag to it. Where else? I'm gonna ask Sam Schmidt, physical therapist, again, clinic director with Alpine Physical Therapy. And I appreciated those comments about, Sam, about how you want to serve your community in that regard. So I know that you don't want to turn these patients away. You talked about having a really good payer mix. How hard is it to recoup those, to make that payer mix continue to work for you? I guess that's the question. Yeah.
That's a great question. You know, it's become harder and harder, and part of it going back to processing, trying to get paid. Medicaid not only pays us the least, but my billing team spends the most time on those bills because it is so inefficient. When I run my business, I look at efficiencies and I see what I can streamline to cut costs. And then I can pay my people more. And I just don't see that happening at the government level. And it's frustrating as a business owner when I have to spend so much money and then not get paid a fair rate. So it really does make it harder and harder to kind of keep our doors open to Medicaid. And we've tried to come to the table, as we do with all payers, to negotiate and let them know the friction that we're seeing. And to have this response and not have the support from the governor when we've had the support from the legislation and have done the due process of that, it's frustrating. And it does put you in a spot where you do have to start making harder choices, because the wait time in Missoula to get into a physical therapist is 3 weeks. And I could fill those spots with higher paying commercial, and there's other small business clinics that have stopped taking Medicaid. And guess what? They're able to pay their employees better because they're getting higher rates because they're not taking Medicaid and having to have the burdensome of trying to get paid through this program and all of the things that go along with it. And that makes it really hard to compete for workforce. So that is frustrating. You know, I've lost 3 employees in the last 3 months, one to a hospital who they can pay much better. They're a big integrated healthcare system, and 2 that are going to Great Falls because the cost of living is much less. So that's hard as a business person when you're trying to have providers stay in the community and take care of people. So
I don't have enough time necessarily to go to Jennifer on this one specifically. I'm going to go back to Emily. Emily, I've got like about, 40 seconds left here.
Okay.
What's the next step here? How do you get that money?
How do I get that money?
Pause on that. But how do you find that funding? How do you make this work with this bill veto? You're going to go back to the drawing board on it?
Well, we will, but right now, actually, we have the chance to override this veto. We had enough of the votes. So this is actually going to go mail-in vote back to our legislators. So that means that all of you out here that are listening today, if you really enjoy your physical therapist, OT, speech-language pathologist, go back to your local legislators, ask them to override the veto of HB 585, and we can get this passed and keep our doors open to everyone.
Don't know how long it's been since you've been to a physical therapist. I think there's more and more people acknowledging the value of those kinds of things. And I don't think we understand what is all involved in physical therapy nowadays. Welcome back here. It is From Montana for Montana, the fastest hour in radio as usual. Tom Schultz alongside, and thank you for joining us. We are talking about physical therapy here in Montana. We'll get into some of the science here as well, but right now it is reimbursement rates from Medicaid that are not meeting even the cost of care. Some of it to the point where it's $40 to $70 an hour at times, near $70 an hour, short. And that's tough to do that. As we're hearing from our guest today, too, the 49 to 50%, almost half of the clinics in Montana are privately owned as well. And they're there to serve the community. And it's hard to do that if you feel like, wow, I can't keep my doors open unless You know, I'm turning some patients away. It gets to that point. Emily Herndon is with us here, Plains Physical Therapy, president of the Montana chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. They've been lobbying this past legislative session. They were successful in SB 109. I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Sam Schmidt, also a guest here, physical therapist, clinic director at Alpine Physical Therapy in Missoula. And then Jennifer Kingan, based out of Kalispell, but they've got three clinics in the area, Healthy Beginnings Pediatric Therapy. And we'll talk more about what that's all about. Emily, I got to go back to you here and talk. So they are going to try and override this veto. There was a large bipartisan support for HB 585. The governor feels that the price tag is too much, and perhaps the reimbursement rate that would be in effect is not necessarily fair to optometrists, opticians, others providing those essential services. So they are going to throw an override attempt out on that. Give us this overall sense of where you think it's going to go, because you guys are reaching out for help in the right places here. Cost is one thing. We're dealing with cost increases all over. But talk more about maybe the legislative route here for 585, and then explain what 109 is all about.
Yeah. So we have a really unique opportunity because we had such great bipartisan support. We had the final vote on the House was 85 in favor of HB 585. The Senate was 34 in favor of HB 585. So it gets us over that 66% threshold for both, which allows us that really unique opportunity to override a veto that has happened at the governor's level. This doesn't happen very much. And from what I understood, it only happened two times in the last 25 years before this last session, where the Colstrip one was actually override. That had an veto override already. So it gives us a little bit of hope. So what we just need is every legislator that voted on this once, yes, before, supported us on this again, please hear us now. We need you to vote on yes on this all over again. So constituents, people out there, contact them, let them know. This is important for us and important for our businesses to serve everyone, because we don't want to see half of our clinics that are privately owned, they can choose not to see patients on Medicaid, decide they don't want to do it already anymore. And we lose continued care and access to everyone in our community. So it's pretty unique, and we're really hoping we get this override because we want to continue to serve everyone, and we don't want to pick winners and losers in our communities.
Your group was successful in Senate Bill 109, and I remember the debate on this one too. It was, and the governor signed it into law, in April. Injured workers may begin care directly with a physical therapist for full case management treatment. I think that's, when we talk about new developments, that's a new development.
That is. It's unique, and it's not unique. Actually, since 1987, a person off the street could walk into my clinic and receive care. But the problem was it dictated on insurance, whether that was Medicare requiring referral, Blue Cross Blue Shield, although they do allow that to happen. But we saw this discrepancy as where, wait, anybody else can walk in off the street, ask me, gosh, I want you to look at my shoulder, and I can treat you immediately. But the problem with the injured worker is they did not have that same choice. So we brought it to legislation to say, hey, here's this list of treating physicians, and we want to be added to it. And so it's simple. I gave the example of one of my patients who had contacted me that week. Hey, it was a patient of mine that I'd been seeing her for other things in the past. And she's like, Emily, my shoulder's hurting a lot. Can you please check it out? I need to work tomorrow. She's a waitress. And I can't take a day off work. I needed to take a look at it. I got her in the clinic that day, took a look at her shoulder, gave her a few things, got her some pain relief, just generally to buy some exercise, some movement, and some manual work. And she was able to go to work the next day without an issue. However, had she been hurt her shoulder at work shoveling snow that week, now, she would have had to gone to her doctor first. The doctor would have likely gave her some muscle relaxers or some other stuff, done some imaging, and hopefully referred her to physical therapy quickly. Unfortunately, what we found when we started researching this data is actually in Montana, there was an average 26-plus day delay from the first time that injured worker walked into their physician's office before they got to us. And that means 26 days without work. So this is really hurting not only the person and their workability, but these employers who were now having not having a worker there. So this was solving both of those problems. It doesn't mean they have to come to us. It gives that patient a choice. They've seen the physical therapist before. They trust them. Then they can access them immediately after work month comp injury, an injury on the job, to get treatment fast.
I appreciate that because, as Sam Schmidt had noted, red tape is, well, it's a labor resource that all, I think, managers have to consider as well. And that seems to lower the red tape. Sam, I'm going to come back to you, though. I want to kind of move on from the legislative side of things here and find out what it is you guys are doing nowadays. And Jennifer Kingen, a speech-language pathologist, I'll have to admit that, you know, when I think of physical therapy, I think of someone lifting my arms up and down, you know, for 10 minutes. but there's so much more to it. Talk about what you do.
Yeah, so given that we see speech and occupational physical therapy in our clinics, I'll kind of just talk about speech and occupational therapy a little bit, just because they're a little bit unknown. But we deal with a lot of kids that maybe, you know, can't eat, or maybe it looks like picky eating, but really nutritionally they're just not getting enough. And these kids can end up on feeding tubes, and so we prevent that by working with them to increase acceptance of foods or swallowing if they have muscle weakness, or taking a bottle if they're an infant. And then occupational therapy is addressing more sensory integration and reflex integration, which is basically simplified to they're not able to organize the input that they're receiving from the world around them. And so that can present as ADHD and often gets misdiagnosed as ADHD and on medication. So basically, you know, all these types of therapies are really addressing preventative medicine so that they're not reliant on medications, or their disabilities are eliminated, or they're able to enter the workforce without costing everyone taxpayer dollars more and more money. Substantially, if this is not addressed early on.
Yeah, and it seems our lawmakers are understanding more and more, and the public as well, what good preventative measures can do for the bottom line when it comes to healthcare costs, but also healthcare outcomes. And I should mention Jennifer Kingen, feeding specialist, speech-language pathologist, with Healthy Beginnings Pediatric Therapy, but the Montana Speech-Language Hearing Association Board as well, Montana STAR, which is the State Advocates for Reimbursement, represented there, and also American Speech-Language Hearing Association members. So you are knee-deep in all of that, and I appreciate that dedication for your patients there. Sam Schmidt, physical therapist and clinic director at Alpine Physical Therapy. What's new? What's going on in your clinics? What's cool in today's physical therapy?
Well, besides just really trying to be an advocate for healthcare and access to healthcare in general, I want to reduce and maybe even eliminate chronic pain. It's just a little thing I want to do, but I know through the research that's out there that if people go to PT first or early, it's the lowest intervention, it's the least aggressive or invasive. And when people access PT first, there are better outcomes. There's less use of medications, less imaging, less surgery, and just overall less reduced total healthcare costs. And so it's an easy place to start. And so what my company did is we opened a walk-in urgent care physical therapy clinic. Oh. Because there is such a wait time to get into a PT, this is the same idea that we see on the medical side. You know, 20 years ago, there wasn't an urgent care. People either went to the ER or they called their family doctor and saw if they could get squeezed in at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing that with PT. And the Veterans Affairs, the VA system, which is the largest medical system in the world, they have had PTs as primary care providers along the side of primary care physicians for decades. And so it's not new. And in Montana, we have always been a direct access state since 87. So it's just kind of making something that was already there and making it easier for the consumer to find us. And it's been great. It's been so great to see people come in and they have an ankle sprain and they want to know whether they should play this weekend or not, or they woke up and their neck doesn't turn and they're about to get on a plane to go on vacation. What should they do? So it's been really fun to see how we can impact those folks and keep them out of pain and keep them either on the job or heading on to vacation. So that's really been fun. And that's where I see PT moving towards and helping the healthcare and the consumer out there.
That sounds like a great endeavor. And I, you know, and reducing chronic pain. I think that is something that people would place more value on if they believed that their chronic pain could be reduced too. So thank you for that. We just got like about a minute and a half left here. Emily Herndon, I kind of want to talk about what else is new in there. I mean, you've got AI. I know there's wearables out there. I'm wearing compression socks now. That was a thing that helped me along the road. You've got robotics. You've just got so much going on here. When you look into the future, what do you see?
There's so much fun stuff that's happening in the world of trying to be innovative, of meeting people where they're at. And one of the ones that we've actually recently done is I have two therapists in my clinic that actually do diagnostic ultrasound imaging. So we actually have an ultrasound unit so we can see the soft tissue that is going on right there and be able to understand what's happening right there in the clinic as a patient moves, as they move their arm. We can see how that tendon is gliding. And so this isn't just for just looking at everyone we do this with, but really specifically when we want to know, gosh, what type of treatment is going to be best? I need to understand that tissue really well and really quickly, but I don't want to send them to an MRI where they're going to spend $2,000 on something. This is a really great tool for us to use in the clinic, and we've been able to reduce number of visits and help people faster when we can pinpoint what is happening, especially with a very specific injury and that. So that's been one of our newest things we've been doing at Plain Physical Therapy that's very unique within the world of physical therapy right now.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys for spending some time with us. Is there anything left that anybody wants to get out real quickly?
I just would encourage everybody across Montana to contact their legislator and let them know to send in that counter for the override of the veto. We need everybody's help here. So thank you so much.
HB 585 is the one you're looking for. Thank you. That was Sam Schmidt. Emily, good stuff from you. Thank you. You guys keep your doors open. All right. Thank you for serving your communities. Thank you for being on the program today too. I just can't thank you enough. And good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck out there.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.